RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
He's Mr. Tyvis Powell. Hello, Tyvis.
Hi, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Hi.
I hear you guys are some youngins.
Jeff and I both said in the break that's the first time in 14 years anyone's ever said that to us.
It's fun. It's fun.
You know, I just want you to know that age is nothing but a reminder, and it doesn't tell you how old or young-minded somebody is.
That's correct. Well said, Tyvis Powell. Well said, young man. All right, so listen. The Browns beat the Steelers yesterday. Is that good, or did they screw up the draft position? Did Kevin enhance his job security? Does it not matter? Does it help Andrew Berry? Does it mean Shadur is going to be the starting quarterback for the next decade? What's it mean?
I think that there's a lot of things. The only thing that we know is that Jimmy Haslam has come out and said, you can't win just three games. Well, he's accomplished. Check. We got four. Check. With a chance to win five. If they go out and beat Cincinnati, Vegas had them at 4.5. They beat Cincinnati. That's over. That's five. Check. So I'd be considered a successful season. I just think beating Pittsburgh, and the fashion that they beat Pittsburgh, to me, it shows that the players continue to respect Kevin Stefanski, and they still play very hard for Kevin Stefanski. Whether you believe that or not, that's just what I see when I watch them play. I think that when you talk about Shadur, obviously, I told y'all last week, if Shadur want to be the starter, he holds he holds all the keys to doing that by just making sure he wins the game, win these next two, and that's what he seems like he's doing. So, therefore, you know, I think that you're putting yourself in a situation where you will have to run with Shadur, which I like. I want to see him grow. Obviously, it's hot and cold with him. When he's hot, he's as good as anybody in his league. When he's cold, he looks terrible at times with some of the decisions that he makes. So, that just comes with being a fifth-round player. Like I said, you got to have some developmental stuff going on there. You know, so many times we're so enamored with guys that we want them to come in and just look like Joe Montana from the first snap of their career to the end of it. And that's not the case. You know, we've been spoiled these last couple of years seeing guys like Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud that we hold everybody to those standards. And realistically, everybody just develops differently at different paces. You see guys make it to year three and they take off in year three. You see guys year two take off in year two. Like, it's different. So I think with Shadur, you know, I think that it's something there. Like, I don't think anybody can deny the fact that something is there, you know, and it's how can we get Shadur that once a bad play happens to shake that off and bounce back quicker? Because I think that's kind of what it leads to. If you watched him play this last game against Pittsburgh, the first quarter, he was lights out. He threw that first pick, and things slowed down from that moment on. The offense kind of was stagnant for the rest of the game, and he started making some bad decisions. How can we get those out? I think that's kind of the question of the offseason, but I'm not ready to deem him as a franchise quarterback, but I definitely think he deserves next year to at least see some more. And given the draft position that you're in, you can build around him. He's making it so you can build around him. And if 26 ain't for him, if you don't see it in 26, then I think you had that quarterback conversation that following next year.
We're all on the same page.
Let me throw this question at you. When you watched the game yesterday, because I'm trying to decipher whether I'm just seeing this with Brown's glasses on, did Pittsburgh change their offense to make sure that Miles wasn't going to get that sack, or did Pittsburgh just run their regular offense?
Well, both things are true. I think that, one, I think they had to change it because you don't have DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin. So that hampered what you were going to do offensively. I think that their game plan was to run the ball and hit the tight ends a lot in this game. I think that what messed them up is the Browns, you know, scoring and having 10 points. That kind of forced them to change what they wanted to do. I feel like a lot of things was trying to go to them tight ends still because he just didn't trust those wide receivers, but he definitely had it in his mind that Miles was not going to make the sack on him. That's a fact. You can just tell. I mean, when he alluded, Alex Wright got the sack, Grant Delpit got the sack. It was never going to be. He don't care where the pressure was coming from. He'd rather step towards the pressure than allow Miles to get that sack. That to me was 100% a fact.
The way that this team has played down the stretch. Has it impressed you? Has it the player? What aspect of it has impressed you? That the players have elevated? That they've played hard for Kevin? Can that be ignored, Tyvus?
I mean, I don't. Can that be ignored? No, it can't be ignored. That's definitely something that gets brought up into the evaluation. I just think that, to me, you know, we talk so much about, for so many years, we talked about the development of young players and how we don't get it. And this year, as this season has progressed, this is the first year we can actually physically see these rookies grow up right before our very eyes. So finally, you've developed some of your young talent. And I think, to me, that's something that you can't ignore. Maybe, you know, they're so weird because it's like Andrew Berry and Kevin is weird because it's like they make mistakes. And then, like, it take a long time, but then you'd be like, you know what? They might have been right. But then, like, it takes so long for it to come to fruition that people want to move on from them. And I understand it. Like, I understand it. But, like, I would say typically they don't make the same mistake twice. And that was one of the things that I gave them a ton of credit on early on, is because they were young. This was the first time general manager and the first time head coach. Now, granted, it's been 6 years, but they've made mistakes along the way, and I feel like they've learned from their mistakes, and I just feel like they finally are starting to figure things out right when they're about to, when people want them to leave, get fired. So it's funny to me because I don't know. It puts you in a situation where it's like, we going into the season, we knew that they weren't going to be good. Everybody knew that the only person that thought the Browns would be decent this year is me.
That's because you're the eternal optimist. That's why.
Yes. Everybody else thought the Browns would not win no more than 5 games this year. I was the only one that said 8. So there. I think that now that it's played out, I just don't understand why is all this negativity when it's like you knew going into the season it would be like this. And the sickest part about it is it don't even look that bad. Like when you look at the situations that they're in, like the offensive line is all hurt, right? But it's not that noticeable. Obviously, it's plays that is absolutely noticeable, but they're still getting through. They're still getting the protection. They still create scenes for running backs. So, to do all of that with a depleted offensive line like that takes something. You got to give a coach a little credit. I know we don't believe in giving coaches credit, but you got to give them a little credit on that one. Like, come on now. So I don't know what the Browns are going to do. I don't know what they should do. I really don't. I know that Kevin's voice still is heard and felt in that locker room. You got Joel Batonio coming out saying that he's the right guy for the job. And so I don't know. I don't know. And the options, you got to give me a better option. Let me know who the options is at head coach, and then I think we can have that conversation.
Tyvus Powell joining us, Browns Radio Network, also Big Ten Network, does his own gig in Columbus as well. He's busy. We like that. look at the wide receiver spot. If you're the GM of this team, who do you want back next year, and who do you think, yep, we have somebody there we want to move forward with?
But the only two names that come to mind is Bond and Jerry Jeudy. Bond and Jerry Jeudy.
Your phone just broke up. Tyvus, you with us?
Bond and Jeudy. And are we doing tight ends or just receivers?
Just receivers.
Bon Judy.
Tillman?
That's about it. That's about now. Nah, I mean, Tillman is he's okay. He's never been a guy that you must have. Like, he's had moments, but he's not been consistent, and he's been hurt a lot. So, like, you can't really depend on him. So you got to get somebody in there that you can really depend on. But yeah, Judy and Bond probably be the only two names that I could think of for sure.
All right, Tyvus, what are we looking forward to last week? Last game of the season.
You know, obviously the Myles Garrett sack. You know, Joe Burrow gives up a ton of sacks, so Myles is hopefully this is his last opportunity. It'd be a shame he get to this point and don't get it. I'm expecting him to get that sack, and I want to see this defense for one last time this season, because it's been a while since obviously this past game they played extremely well, but given the talent that's going to be on that Cincinnati offense, I want to see that Browns defense that was in the beginning of the season. I want those guys. I know since Malik Collins has been gone, it has not been the same. I want to see them have a dominant performance on defense, because that's what it's going to take if they want to win this game.
All right, Tyvus, I know we only got a couple more minutes here. I want to congratulate you because I haven't had the chance to do this yet. And I was just reminded again about this too, so I wanted to make sure. But I want to tell you, you are an outstanding teammate to me, and I'm sure Jeff would say the same thing.
I sure do, man.
On game days on Sunday when it comes to the Browns. But finally, your high school, Bedford High School, is set to induct you into the Bedford Bearcats Sports Hall of Fame. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much. It was one of those things that when you walk those halls as a young Bearcat, I used to walk those halls. I used to see all the plaques, you know, by the gymnasium and things like that. And I used to be like, man, I don't know if I'll ever get in that. Like, you see some of the names that's up there. It's like, I don't know if I'll ever get to that level. And, you know, you go through high school and you do the best you can, and you go to college and you do the best you can there as well. Do a little bit in the league. And to get that phone call to be like, yeah, we're going to induct you into the Bedford Hall of Fame, to be up on that plaque with Chris Chambers, Lee Evans, Tally Berry's. Like, being there with them, I will be remembered forever. Like, that to me, that means a lot. You know, I guess, you know, when you get older and you have kids and stuff, like, to be able to have them go back and be like, look, this is what Daddy did. Like, that's a pretty cool thing, you know. And hopefully, you know, one of those kids go through that hallway and see my plaque and, you know, is inspired. And, you know, hopefully seeing me up there is like, okay, you can do it too. Like, if I did it, then you can do it too. And I just hope that I can be an inspiration for those young Bearcats. Because it's a lot of good ones out there, and I'm learning that they're dominating the sports media field, especially in Ohio. Boy, look at that, the Cleveland scene. We on the way.
I can see the young Bearcats walking through the hall, looking up at your picture, your plaque, and thinking, gosh, maybe one day I too can work with Baskin and Phelps.
That's true. I think what's impressive about your announcement, my friend, beyond the fact that you work with both of us, is that of the six people that are going in, you're the only one from this century.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because you got three guys and gals too. From 99.
Yeah. If Hallie doesn't show up for your induction, I'm going to be steamed.
You know, is
she going to be there?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Will you thank us in your speech? When is the speech? Do we know anything about this?
I will thank you in my speech.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
No, you don't need to thank us.
How you do those things where you don't leave anybody out is you thank everybody that you ever met in your life.
Yeah.
Do you get it? Well, I guess they give out the green jacket at the Masters.
You're going to get about 30 seconds to do it. So yeah,
do they give you a green jacket when you enter the Bedford Bearcat Hall of Fame? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll let you know on February 7th. After it happens.
That's awesome. Oh, well, we're happy 7th. For
all right. I'm looking forward to talking to you about that after the ceremony. Let us know. Jeff and I will go.
We'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks, bro.
Sounds good. I'll see y'all Sunday. Go Bucks, go Browns, go Cavs, go Bearcats.
Tyvus Powell.
Congratulations.
Hall of Famer right there on the fan hotline. Good for him.
He's a great teammate.
Halle Berry,
Jeff, he's
better
a better teammate
up.
than you are sometimes.
He's definitely better than you. Halle Berry better show up.
Yeah, I mean, what does she have going on that day?
I don't know. She better show up.
Oh, would it be great if she shows up? And I'm here for Tyvus.
I'm here for my guy, Tyvus.
Sorry, Ricky Perez. Sorry. I'm here for Tyvus. Congratulations to Ricky.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up 1 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I thought there was another interesting couple of sound bites last week, a couple of quotes that came from Myles Garrett when he was asked about Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator of the Browns, who Jim's done a very nice job as the defensive coordinator. And, you know, one day, maybe, does he want to be a head coach again? I don't know. He had an interesting run in Detroit. It went well, and then it didn't go well.
Right.
And he paid the price for that. But Myles said this about Jim Schwartz. Wins and losses aren't where we want them, for sure. Tough. I wish we could figure it all out a bit sooner. But to play for Jim has been an honor and a privilege. That's a great coach. He's been a great man of character and a great leader. So I just appreciate that I've been able to be coached by him. He's helped elevate my game and take it to the heights we see now. That's high praise. That's high praise for your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't know how you would replace him moving forward. Even when the defense looks like they're never down, they're off, right? Like, it's not.
Very rarely have they been trashed this year or ever. I think under Jim Schwartz, have they had moments? Yeah, they've had moments. You know, they've given up. Their defense is based. The idea that they're really good is based on yardage, not points. They're going into yesterday, they were 20th in points allowed. That's not all on the defense. You know, that's on special teams sometimes. It's on the offense giving you bad field position to work with. But I think they've done a very nice job defensively. And I think they're a good defensive unit. And I hope no matter what happens here next year, that Jim Schwartz is the defensive coordinator of this team. And I wonder if Miles was laying the groundwork that if a change was made at head coach, giving his guy a little bit of a plug.
To be the next head coach.
Yeah.
Are Schwartz and Stefanski a package?
I don't think so. Do you?
Not really, no.
They're on different sides of the ball for the most part.
Only because he's been a head coach somewhere before.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you never know.
You never know.
So it's like, I would hate for us to lose Schwartz. This is it. I was looking for this before. Somebody tweeted us. Phil Dawson's ghost said, firing Stefanski means losing Schwartz. Blowing this up now makes zero sense. Give the staff one more season and see if they can get Sanders up to speed as an NFL quarterback, basically.
That's the type of approach that people don't want to hear. And it's what you and I have been talking about. And you and I have said this, Andy. I mean, that's where I am. I'm willing. I'm willing to give them one more year. And part of the reason for that is because the Deshaun Watson deal comes off the books. Okay. Maybe at the end of next year, you take a look. Where's your team? Okay, Deshaun's done. Do we think Kevin's done a good job? Do we think Andrew's done a good job? Then we keep rolling. I would love to have our John Harbaugh. I would love to have our Mike Tomlin, our Andy Reid. Do we have that guy? I don't know.
I'd like to have our own Paul Brown. How about somebody that's here for, I don't know.
Well, that's what I mean. Decade, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. He's had some that were pretty flat. But he has shown that when he's been given talent, he can coach it up. But they keep giving him talent in Pittsburgh. You know? I've not seen a coach in the NFL win big without talent. That doesn't happen. And so that I honestly consider these guys a package deal. I do. And that's real clear. But I wonder how Jim Schwartz fits into the equation. Because, Andy, if you're going to hire a new head coach, could he keep Jim? Yeah. What if Jim didn't want to stay with a new coach? You know, what if he wanted to go do something else? I don't know. Roman is in Canton, Ohio, in beautiful Stark County. Hello, Roman.
Hey, Roman.
What's up, fellas? How are you doing?
Good.
Just want to say a couple things. I really think that Shadur has what it takes to be the guy. And I think that building, letting him be the starter next year and building some confidence in him and building around him through the draft and free agency, I think that's huge, you know, going forward for the team. And a hypothetical, let's say he's not the guy. We've still built a team fit for a quarterback who, you know, it should hopefully be ready to come in. You guys get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, if we build an offensive line, if we get some receivers to come in there, then if it doesn't pan out with Shadur, then we have a team who's quarterback ready for someone to come in. So I think that's really big.
I think it's essential, Kevin, by the way, yeah. Roman. I think it's a great path that this organization could take.
Absolutely. And, you know, seeing some of these kind of mid-veteran quarterbacks in the NFL now that are finally having some success, I think it just goes to show that we need to let these guys grow and become NFL quarterbacks. We have the short instances where you have Jaden Daniels and those kind of guys that automatically show up and they got it. Well, that's not the majority. The majority of these guys come in and it takes them 3, 4, 5 years to actually get their wheels underneath of them. And I think that's important. And I think Shadur has shown that he has the ability to be an NFL quarterback. And, I think that's just really important. And I think Tyvus said something incredible, and it makes me, you know, think that we do need to let these guys have another year or two with this organization, as far as, you know, Kevin and AB. The guys are still fighting. They're still fighting to win, and they're still fighting for their team and for their pride. And if you lose a locker room, then you don't see that. You see guys moping around, and you see guys being really kind of lazy and not wanting to be there. So I think that's, you know, really important.
Roman, thank you.
Thank you, Roman. Is this something, I know you like to play this game, okay? 32 teams in the NFL, the longest tenured coaches in the NFL, the 9 of them, of the longest, Kevin's the youngest of that since 2020, 4 of them are AFC North. So of the 9 oldest coaches, tenured. I shouldn't say
Zach
by
Taylor's
age.
In there, huh? One year older than
Kevin. Yeah, Zach's one year
longer than
Zach's
Kevin.
7.
Yeah.
And then 1-2 is Tomlin Harbaugh. You know? Is that something?
I don't know. It shows. To me, I look at Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and I think I would love to be either organization. I mean, Ozzie Newsome built a great organization in Baltimore, and they've done it with continuity. And the Steelers have had 3 head coaches since 1969 and good front offices with plenty of continuity there. I want to be Pittsburgh. I want to be Baltimore. Be honest, I really do. That's great. But you have to have the right guy in place, and we'll see. I think it would be an easier move for the Haslams to blow up Kevin than to keep him. But I don't know that it's the right move. And you could say the same thing about Andrew Berry. We'll see what they do. And I say that only because of what you and I have said. We know what the NFL is. You win three games.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you better bounce back. You bounce back with five wins. That's not bouncing back enough. You're done. But there are circumstances here that scream to me. Our buddy Nick Shook from NFL.com.
The Shooky Cookie.
The Shooky Cookie wrote a story the other day. NFL quarterback carousel 2026. Three offseason trades I'd love to see. He had Kyler Murray going to Miami. He had Mac Jones going to the Colts. And he had Kirk Cousins.
Coming to?
The Cleveland Browns.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. And part of it was the Kevin factor. And part of it was the Shador factor. You know, he's not quite sold. You know, honestly, if you're a football fan and you think you know something about the game, and you know we all do, and everybody thinks you know something. Mm-hmm. If you're watching Shador, I would think, unless you have nothing but blind optimism in him, and you're just such a big fan that you're just saying it, I don't think we've seen enough to make you think, yep, this guy's going to be a star quarterback in the league. I haven't. I don't see that. I don't think you do. I know Tyvus doesn't. Tyvus said that earlier. But I think we've all seen enough that you wouldn't mind seeing more. That's where I am. But I think I'll disagree with Nick on this. If you bring Kirk Cousins in here, mm-hmm. you're not going to find out about Shador.
No.
Because you're not going to bring Cousins in play him.
If you kept Shador, he could conceivably be your number three quarterback.
Who, Cousins?
No, if you bring Cousins in, then what are you doing with Watson?
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And then Sanders ends up. And then I would hope that if they decided to bring Cousins in, they would trade either Gabriel or Sanders.
I would think that's the case. You know, there are all kinds of things that they could still do at quarterback, Andy, without using one of those first round picks. And whoever's in charge, and until further notice, I'm assuming it's Andrew Berry, and I'm assuming Kevin's the head coach. I'm real curious to see what they do. You know, like, would something like this float your boat? To me, this is interesting. I don't think Drew Aller is going to be a first round pick.
No.
He had an injury filled season, and he probably should have left school. As it turned out,
yeah.
In hindsight, and Drew's 6'5", 230 pounds, can throw it, can run, knee injury. If you pick Drew Aller in the second round, and let's say you like Shador, mm-hmm. Shador starts next year. Drew Aller sits and waits. And if Shador wins the job, great, then you have a backup in Drew Aller.
And Deshaun?
Well, I'm thinking 2027 now.
Oh, you're two ahead. Okay.
Yeah. Because if Shador goes out next year, and there's no way I would start a rookie ahead of Shador next year, I could conceivably see a path where Deshaun Watson was your starter next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a hard time thinking that Shador is going to be a backup here. I think that would be a tenuous situation for the starter and the coaching staff.
If I said to you, pick a percentage of Gabriel or Sanders, either one of those two guys being traded next year, you would say?
Either one?
Either one.
50%.
I would say so, too. I think one of those two guys is going to get traded.
I don't think it's Shador. But I don't think you're going to get much for Dylan, only because he got hurt. And I'm probably the only guy who would say this. I kept watching Dylan and thinking, all right, very small progress, small here, but I thought he was coming around, and I thought it was getting better. And it's just like when I watch Shador, I think he's getting better, and I would like to see more. I would like to see more of Dylan. I don't think we're going to do that as long as Shador's here. I think Shador has jumped him, but I wonder what the offseason could look like. And I really do. I mean, if you bring back the three guys who are on this team right now, I haven't seen enough from Shador that makes me think, yep, hey, We're going to name him the starter. And then everybody's, I don't see that. I would think.
With Deshaun still on the roster, do you think that they won't name either one of those two guys a starter?
Andy, I'd go into the offseason and just say, hey, we're comfortable at quarterback. We're comfortable there.
Ugh, that and, is weeks of conversation.
Yeah.
Weeks.
Oh, yeah. But I've not seen enough from Dylan to make me think, yeah, well, that's our starter. I haven't seen enough from Shador to make me think, oh, that's our starter. Which one do I think has more upside? Right now, I think Shador looks better than what Dylan did. But there were moments that Dylan looked intriguing to me. And if Deshaun could ever figure it out, he's going to be under contract. I just think they could take the approach, hey, we're okay at quarterback, and fix the rest of the team and then figure it out. And if that meant a young kid from Medina and Penn State being a draft choice and add him to the mix and let him sit and learn, I think that could be a really beneficial thing for the organization. Kevin's press conference, 1:00. You'll hear it here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The game doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning. Like, I would think for Steeler fans it would have meaning because, you know, you win, you're in the playoffs. But to be honest with you, I mean, I know it's a win over Pittsburgh, and I'll never not
it's
enjoy
terrific.
That.
Yeah, it's terrific. Well done. Well done, fellas.
Yeah, but can we be honest? It's kind of meh because you know they're not going to the playoffs.
They're not going to the playoffs, and they cost themselves a couple of critical spots in the draft. I don't seem
to care about that.
Yeah, I know, except for one thing. If they thought that Dante Moore was the answer at quarterback, who, by the way, is from Elyria. If they thought Dante was the answer, well, you're not going to get him now. If they thought Fernando Mendoza was the answer, well, you're not going to get him now. Unless you trade up. You know, you could, but then you're not going to get your lineman. Then you're not going to get your wide receiver. Then, so you've... That said, congratulations. I'm glad you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yay. I was happy about it. I'll tell you one thing that was really impressive yesterday is as we were doing the pregame show in the cardiac club. Like, you know, like they were telling me, because I wasn't at the Buffalo game, but the Buffalo game, the cardiac club was absolutely packed with Bills fans. And normally
big money in Buffalo, huh?
Well, in these games, even like the Niners, like when the Niners were here, like there were a ton of Niners fans. And You kind of get, you know, I'm there, what, 2-3 hours before the game? You're there how many hours before?
Yeah, I get there around like 8 a.m.
Yeah, so, like, you can kind of get a feel for what the crowd is going to be like or if it's going to be a late arriving crowd. That's the other thing. Yesterday was, I'm going to be honest, it's the last home game of the year. Steelers are playing for a playoff spot. I expected the entire stadium to be black and gold.
I was right there with you. I thought there was going to be a lot more than was actually showing up.
And our fans showed up yesterday, man. I give them a ton of credit.
Which is why beating the Steelers is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Fans I care. Guess it is. There were a lot of Steelers fans at the game yesterday. And I kept getting mad at CBS because they were taking that. Because their A-team was there yesterday, did you see how many cameras they had? I mean, there were cameras all over the place.
Yeah, nice job, fellas.
Well, they also had, it's a cart that runs along the sidelines. You can't see it on TV. Normally, that's just one camera. This was like a double-decker with another camera on top. But the thing that was bothering me was, because I thought that everyone would think the place was packed with Steelers fans, was they had this high-angle shot that was in, I'm assuming it was across the dugout, so I'll say it was in the west end zone, and it was just kind of like this bubble camera that you could see the entire, the bowl of the stadium, and there were like 8 or 9 Steelers fans there. And if you just saw that shot, you would have thought the place was packed with Steeler fans. Now, there were a lot of Steeler fans there yesterday, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
Well, even in the Buffalo game, like, the Buffalo fans were loud. And, like, to the extent where when the Bills were running out of the tunnel, it sounded like it was a home game for Buffalo.
Yeah.
And so, by comparison, like, you could hear the boos echoing throughout when the Steelers came out still. Despite the amount of Steelers fans that were there, Browns fans really showed out well.
Yeah, it was interesting. When they introduced Shador yesterday, they were booing. Like, and I was like, wait, what? And then I realized it was, and then I saw all the terrible towels, going around in a circle. And I was like, okay, I get it now. I get it.
Jeff's in Cleveland. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. So we got a quarterback now. I hope we keep him, Shador. I do. I don't know. Gabriel, he's a good quarterback, but it just goes to show you sometimes too much college knowledge is not good. You got to have common sense, too. And I think that's what Shador makes the difference at. He just got plain common sense when he has the ball. He knows that he doesn't have it all the time, but I'll give it to him 75% to 80% of the time.
So what's interesting is what you just said. I kind of was like, what is he saying? But if you go back and listen to what he said in the press conference yesterday, he is learning. There's like no question about it because that's the idea. And experience is gonna do that for you. And I think that we need to the harder part of this whole thing is take the name off the back of the jersey and ask yourself, what should a rookie be, or where do you cut rookie slack? And I think that's a much fairer picture. And if you want to cut him more slack, this is the one time where being a fifth round pick should give you even more hope and optimism because he was drafted in the fifth. If you want to look at it that way, it's all perspective.
Cam's doing a good job also, guys. I think Cam has, he corrected his own mistake. He saw that, hey, this Dylan guy is not working out. I better not go too far with this. He corrected his own mistake, and that shows that he's a good coach. That does. That shows that Cavs is a good coach, and I think he deserves a second chance. I don't think he should even be in there. His name shouldn't even come up for a different job. We need him here. We need Cav here.
Jeff, thank you very much. We'll see.
It has been interesting in the last 10 days, Jeff, having done some shows last week, how many more people have kind of come back to Kevin? People who thought for sure he was gone, he was out of here, see you later. And then they've watched these last two games against the Bills and the Steelers and saying, like, you know what? Maybe he does deserve another chance. Maybe we need to go back, reestablish what we're doing here.
It's the thought of, okay, if you move on, then what are you going to do? Are you going to keep your fingers crossed and hire the coordinator du jour? And hope to get lucky, which, great. Ravens did when they hired special teams coordinator John Harbaugh. Steelers hired a little-known young assistant out of Minnesota. You can do that, or you can hire, fill in whoever you want. Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchens. Baby. I mean, there are all kinds of here and everywhere else. Could you hire Liam Cohen? Done a great job in Jacksonville. How's that? You just never know. So it's a decision that management, I don't think, can take lightly. It's just, it's going to be made quickly, I would think, Andy.
I would think so too. Because if you want another coach, you better jump on it quick.
And it's weird to me how Kevin's name continues to pop up from folks you hear around the country. And if Cleveland decides to move on, I'd make Kevin the top candidate here. Well, if he's going to be the top candidate in some other spots, or you better make sure you talk to this guy and blah, 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 blah. Maybe you shouldn't move on. Then you want to flip the coin? The other side of the coin is, okay, you've had your 6-year run and time for a new voice, which we all understand. That happens.
Just kind of perusing, odds for Kevin Stefanski in 2026 aren't out yet, but recent betting had him as a favorite to be fired, while insiders have him linked to being the future head coach, Giants, Titans.
I know. Now, would they be right by hiring him? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. It's a weird deal. And I think the Haslams have a decision that they have to make. And I think it's a critical decision. But I really do mean this. I think it would be a more bold move to bring him back and to bring Andrew Berry back. I lump them together. I think it would be a bold move to bring them both back because the numbers tell you should move on. The numbers tell you that. I got another numbers game I want to play with you.
Okay, I'm in.
And I have already said it. Shadur intrigues me more than Dylan Gabriel. Okay?
Okay.
That said, this is interesting. Better completion percentage so far. Who is it? Shadur or Dylan?
Probably Dylan.
It is. Yards per game. More.
Shadur?
Yep, that's absolutely right.
Yep.
Longest completion.
Shadur.
Yep, without question. Dylan's longest completion was 26 yards. Mm. That I'll forever wonder, and I don't know if we'll ever find the answer. Was that because they weren't letting him throw downfield, or was it because he was checking down on everything and not throwing it deep? Because if you watched tape from him in college, he threw it deep, and he threw it deep well. Touchdown passes, most.
Shador's got a strength. Shador.
Tied. 7 each.
Okay.
Even remember Dylan throwing touchdown passes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But not very many. Interceptions. Who has the most?
Shador.
He's thrown 10 interceptions. Dylan threw only 2. But again, is that because...
How many passes did each throw?
Shador's thrown more passes. Yeah. 190 to 185.
Oh, really? It's that close?
It's real close, yeah. And sacks. It's real close. Dylan, yeah. 19. And, of course, he played in 10 games. And Shador, 17 sacks. Quarterback rating? Dylan's is better. 80.8 to 68.5. And that's why, though I think Shador is more intriguing.
Where does 68.5 rank you among the NFL?
It's not. You don't even want to know.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. Though I think Shador is intriguing, if you brought in Dylan and you liked him better until he got a concussion, that's why, in my estimation, you don't eliminate him from any conversation moving forward until you trade him or cut him. I mean, if you trade him, what are you going to get? 6th or a 7th?
Look, if they were willing to trade.
You're not going to get anything for him. So I would think he's back next year.
If you were willing to trade Pickett or Flacco, despite the fact they were veterans at any given moment at the start of the season, I think they'd be willing to trade either one of these quarterbacks if they felt like they had their guy in sight.
You might be right. Kevin's press conference coming up momentarily here on Baskin and Phelps.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.